Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget you can also stream us from the website www.guardiantalkradio.com or go to our own website page and listen to the show after it's aired at www.nagb.org.bs. Slight brain blip there. NAGB.org.bs. Go to the education menu, scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you can listen to all the archive shows. So tonight we're going to be talking about something called the Orange Economy. And a lot of people know what that is, but a lot of people don't. So I have some experts in the room to speak to what does that mean, the Orange Economy. The first guest I'm going to introduce you tonight is Patricia Glinton-Mikolas. Many of you know her as a historian, as a poet, as a former professor, as many things, organizer of festivals and talk givers at the NAGB general busybody with her own radio show as well, all about culture. And she's here as the Vice President of Creative Nassau. So good evening, Patty.
Good evening, Amanda. And thank you for asking me to join you today.
My pleasure. We also will be hearing from Michael Edwards, who's an assistant professor and at UB and a faculty advisor on Expo 2020 in Dubai. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
You
Very
are so welcome.
To join the conversation.
Yay. And Dr. Ian Bethel-Bennett, also at UB, an associate professor and also an advisor on Expo 2020 in Dubai, which will sort of wrap into the conversation. But I'm going to start with Patricia, because the reason I asked you all here was to speak about this thing called the Orange Economy. So first of all, what does that mean? Patty, you can tell us, and you actually organized something about it recently at the Central Bank. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was earlier in the month, and I have to thank, if you'll allow me, to thank the people who sponsored the event. It was organized by Creative Nassau, and we had the support of IDB as well as the Central Bank.
So IDB is the International Development Bank.
And in fact, IDB published the book by these two guys, Felipe Buitrago Restrepo and Ivan Duque Marquez, I think, yes. And it was all sponsored by the IDB. It really is, they call it an idea whose time has come. But at the webinar, which was held in one of the conference rooms at the Central Bank, we had the three speakers were by electronic means.
So they Skyped in or whatever, big screen.
Because they're all over the place. For example, there was the author of the Orange Economy publication, Felipe. He was coming from, I think, Colombia. And also you had Peter, can't remember Peter's last name now, from Santa Fe. This is important because Santa Fe was one of the first cities in the world to form the cluster for folk arts and crafts.
Wait, which now they, you've had, you right. Creative Nassau have had designated, have
right.
had Nassau designated
We're
as
so
one of
proud
these.
Proud of that. December 1st it was, 2014. It took mm-hmm. us 6 years really, because first we had applied for design, a city of design, but Jackson Burnside died, Jackson and Pam Burnside had visited Santa Fe at one point, saw this happening, the kind of thing that we needed to do, because theirs is a major tourist economy, for example, and they're also a major center for art. So why mm-hmm. not put the two together, make the art pay, make it a major part of their economy? And it has worked beautifully, and the people are very, very dedicated to it. And also, we had Dr. Keith Nurse, who is an amazing Caribbean person. Right now, he's working in Barbados, and he is very much a part of spreading this kind of message, people getting together, people not just at top levels, but
a kind of grassroots, or
right,
yeah,
to the cooperative kinds of efforts that make this diversification rail in the Caribbean region, for example. So this has been at the core of what Creative Nassau has been doing, because we realize everybody who is involved, and now there's Pam, of course, Pam Burnside is president. I'm vice president. We have with us, too, Rosemary Hanna, who was a banker as a professional. We have Nico Mikolas, my husband now, and Marilyn Zonnickel, who was with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs for quite some time, traveling the world as a diplomat, for example. So it's a very good team. It's a small team, and we're involved in a lot of things. Right now, in the interest of this whole orange economy thing, because the point is, what I hope will be revealed on this show today, it's not enough to say what constitutes the creative industries that provide the foundation of the orange economy. But there are a lot of corollaries that have to be in place to make it function, you know. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we should take this time to mention what's up.
Absolutely. So, I mean, essentially the orange economy is, yeah, the creative economy. But right. As you said, there need to be these underpinnings. And I think some of Dr. Bethel Bennett's work is to do with identifying. Mm-hmm. Because, again, like you spoke to Santa Fe, and I think Santa Fe is really interesting. So on the one hand, and I'm torn about Santa Fe, because on the one hand, it is this amazing cultural center.
Right.
At the same time, there's kind of a Disneyfication of their culture, right?
Yes.
But they have put their culture front and center. So there's kind of this, I don't want to say love-hate, but you go, everything is an Adobe house, right? McDonald's is in an Adobe house. You know, and somehow that's great, because it would be as if everything was a clapboard house on Bay Street everywhere. And that would be nice, but then there's a part of it that becomes, they're sort of selling that to support then the other work of the creative economy.
Is that not what tourism, there's always that element.
Absolutely, and I would, you know, you would rather see a series of faux clapboard houses than a series concrete blocks.
However.
But I mean, not on Bay Street, but then a series of like concrete blocks. You'd rather things that looked authentic and organic.
Yes, of course.
But again, what is authentic and organic? I think that's part of your work, Dr. Bethel Bennett, is trying to...
That's a really challenging point at this moment, because it seemed that we had a project under the former administration that was really moving ahead because we had people who were interested in it. And we were really trying to galvanize support and also document what is Bahamian and make that go to the UNESCO board. But they wanted to do it in too short a time. So we continued to work on that. I asked Patty to be a part of that. And then it just stalled.
Mm-hmm.
But we have continued to work in terms of doing other things that would underlay or kind of undergird the
But explain why that's important, of actually identifying like what is Bahamian, and how do you do that?
It's important, for example, we always talk about Junkanoo, and Junkanoo is important because it's important to the Bahamas because it's unique to the Bahamas. It's different than it is anywhere else, but it also brings together so many other things. But other people use that to trade on.
Mm-hmm.
So because we have been remiss about patenting or documenting or owning our culture, other countries, other organizations, other entities have been able to trademark aspects of our indigenous culture and use those to trade on. So they benefit from the money that we should be making.
Mm-hmm. I must bring this to your attention. This is so true. It came, someone brought it to our attention just a couple of days ago, and it was so chilling because something that we truly own, the remarkable weaving of the straw palm, remarkable. We've had tens of patterns developed by Bahamian people from way back, a couple of centuries back, that nobody else has. You have straw culture in many places,
mm-hmm.
but our weaves are unique. Somebody brought it to our attention that they got this thing out of China showing about three straw weaves. And one of them, and two were very common patterns, mm-hmm. but one was a very specialized pattern of ours. And the thing is, of course, people come along and take photographs and then go back, and they're very good at examining and all this. Okay. This is ridiculous. And I must mention, we started last year, Creative Nassau, that is, because we realized the Bahamas has signed on this convention, intangible heritage with UNESCO, for example. But this is a part, and I'm going to be very frank in this show, this is a part of our problem. We do these Potemkin village kind of actions. The world expects you to sign on to conventions, but it's an empty gesture because nobody does the work needed to make it real, to make it beneficial to the people of this country.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, we figured we needed to, it's a kind of copyright that can happen, mm-hmm. have the world identify something as uniquely part of your heritage. And so we're doing this for straw work, for example. But the thing is, the challenge has been, we've done all the basic application things, the research and writing needed. But the thing is, there's one section that we have not been able to fill in, make an inventory of the people involved. And you would think there has been a UNESCO office here for I don't know how long. And there are all these, and it has been send the fools further. You know, this one, go to this ministry, go to that ministry. This country needs, even apart from art, the whole orange economy thing, we need archives digitized where some responsible people can say, oh, we need to look in that catalog. You punch in here, you can bring up this documentation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that is a major weakness. But obviously, I think UNESCO is taking our application very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes hard work,
mm-hmm.
because you have a small band of people, and we all have jobs,
mm-hmm.
and are involved in so many other aspects of culture. So it takes work. And we are kind of work averse in some areas of our country, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way it is. But anyway, Tony was going to talk more about the design.
I wanted to go back to something Patty said.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I trained under the OAS Trade Initiative at UWI Cave Hill, and at the end of my time, Keith Nurse came on and directed the program. Mm-hmm. And it was sold as this great thing for developing trade in the Caribbean.
Yes.
Because we have been so negligent.
Dumb.
Thank you.
Patty's just pulling out all the stops tonight.
Because we don't take these things seriously.
Yeah.
Or we think that the WTO really is going to come down the road somewhere. But the WTO is here. We've signed up for it, and we have done nothing to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are small organizations, of course, who've looked after their own interests. But in terms of the general, the commons,
yeah.
we've actually made it more dangerous to publish, to create,
yes,
in the Bahamas.
Absolutely.
Through our lack of any kind of technical support for the industry, by just opening the doors willy-nilly to whatever happens.
So you basically open the doors before you put protection in place, Michael?
Sure. So there's a bigger issue here. So we're talking, mm-hmm. about owning the means and modes of production, right?
Right.
And really it comes down to policy. There's a lack of policy.
That's one of the corollaries that I've been talking
well,
about.
Well, sure. Yes. So how do you develop the ecosystem? And this is something, mm-hmm. that I'm very interested in.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing to talk about, the orange economy or the blue economy or the green, mm-hmm. economy. The orange economy is nothing new. It's been around for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Especially here in the Bahamas.
Right, of course. But I think what we lack, and as my colleague speaks about WTO and trade, we lack the kind of policy development, the innovation, cultural policy development, not only in the Bahamas, but the region, and I'm sure our friend Keith Nurse spoke about this, and so we can pick this up.
Well, I was going to say let's pick that up. Thank you for introducing the break, Michael. That you just heard from Michael Edwards, who was being very quiet, and I was waving at him. So I'm glad, Michael, you got in there before the break. But we are going to have to go to a quick one. We are talking about the orange economy, which is the creative economy and our creative industries, and really what we have to do to protect them, and therefore to thrive off of them, and to become a city not unlike Santa Fe, which Patty spoke to at the beginning of the show. So I have three really amazing people in the studio with me tonight. I have Patricia Glinton-McCullis, the Vice President of Creative Nassau. I've got Dr. Ian Bethel-Bennett, who's an Associate Professor at UB and Faculty Advisor on Expo 2020, and Michael Edwards, an Assistant Professor at UB and also Advisor on Expo 2020. And we're going to be back after this break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community, and we'll be right back.